Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
A major cruise line is gaining praise for their efforts to rescue trapped people in Puerto Rico. Here's Mark Mayfield.
Royal Caribbean's humanitarian mission rescued about 2,200 people from San Juan on Thursday night. The cruise line will also pick up hundreds from St. Thomas and 1,000 more from the U.S. Virgin Islands before it reaches Florida next week. Royal Caribbean canceled its September 30th trip to use the ship to deliver much-needed supplies and to help evacuate people from the island. Puerto Rico was devastated by Hurricane Maria. Millions on the island are without power and are running dangerously low on supplies such as clean water, food, and fuel.
Education Secretary Betsy DeVos gave a speech talking about the state of American public schools, saying changes need to be made to stop students from leaving school.
We are losing thousands and thousands of kids every year, and we can't wait any longer. We really cannot wait any longer. We've been doing things the same way and expecting different results for more than a couple of decades, and this country was built on creative, entrepreneurial, risk-taking people, and education is ripe for those types of people to grab hold and solve problems and meet the needs of students.
The U.S. planning to pull out staff and family from the U.S. Embassy in Cuba. The withdrawal comes after a series of what's being called sonic attacks on U.S. diplomats and their families. Over 20 diplomats and family members have been hit by the attacks. USA Radio News.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is bobburnspeaks.com, and I'm inviting you to listen to my show at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoons on Hutterton Chamber Radio, entitled Awaken to Your Purpose. How many people walk through life awake and knowing why they were incarnated here in this beautiful planet? Not a lot of people do. I was in my late 40s by the time I found out, but now I know. So listen to the show, and maybe that'll promote you to awaken to your purpose. And thank you so much.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Well, good afternoon. Can you believe the last Friday in September, and I'm a little out of breath because, once again, the traffic on 31 in front of the hospital is maddening and takes a couple times to get through the lights, etc. But I'm Pat Smith, and I'm going to talk to you about some, I'm going to talk to you today about adoption, which is a subject that a number of people have asked me about, especially with respect to releasing an adoptee's records. But first of all, let's talk about the weather. And tonight, there's about a 30% chance of scattered showers. It was a beautiful day out there today, although cooler than it has been. Tonight, the low might be around 48 degrees, nice sleeping weather. Tomorrow, Saturday, there's about a 30% chance of showers, mostly after 3 p.m. in the afternoon. Sunny, honey. Near 65 degrees, and so that's cooler. You know, we've really had some summer weather recently. By tomorrow night, there's again about a 30% chance of showers, then mostly clear. Sunday should be a beautiful day, 68 degrees, great day to be outside, great day to do anything, great day to watch football if you, you know, especially if you're outside. But that's another story for another program. And then if you have a chance to be off on Monday, beautiful sunny day of 72 degrees. So we'll be right back after I give you some information about a couple of our sponsors, and that's because I need to get some information out since I'm running a little late. Sorry about that.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
This is Chamber President Chris Phelan inviting you to the 29th Annual Business and Home Expo with our Restaurant Showcase. This wonderful event will happen on Thursday, November 9th at our new location, Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington from 2 to 7 p.m. If you're a business or organization and would like to participate, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at huntertonchamber.org.
Well, played a couple spots there because somebody came in, and but back to the program. Program, it's the law. I'm Pat Smits. I'm an attorney here in Hunterdon County, but I limit my practice to family law matters. In fact, I do not handle adoption. I think it's a very specialized area. And however, if anyone is interested, there are some excellent attorneys. There really are some great attorneys, and in fact, just a plug for a friend of mine who is fabulous, both with not only adoption, but also assisted reproduction, and there is going to be a seminar, actually, that even though it's geared to attorneys, anyone interested in adoption and or especially independent adoptions, and also surrogacy contracts and parentage actions. This would be I think an interesting seminar. The person I'm talking about is Deborah Gustin, and it's family law through the Bar Association, the Institute of Continuing Legal Education. There's going to be one program on Friday, October 6th, in Mount Laurel, and then there is a second same program will be in held in West Orange on Friday, October 20th. So anyone interested in adoption or surrogacy, I think this would be an interesting program even for non-attorneys, and certainly for any attorneys who might be interested in getting into the area of adoption. So why is and what is new? Well, I'm not saying it's exactly new, but what has happened in New Jersey is that adoptees now can obtain copies of their original birth certificates. Now, that doesn't mean that they're going to get a lot of information, because on some of the birth certificates, there's not a lot of information. So probably many people don't even realize that someone who's adopted in New Jersey was not able to get a copy of their original birth certificates. But what happened is when a child, baby or child, is adopted, there is a permanent change on the birth certificate, and the adoptive parents are the named parents. So why is that? Well, actually, I thought it went back forever, but apparently not, because it was November of 1940, so beyond most of us can't even begin to think back that far. But in any event, in 1940, legislation was enacted that required adopted children's original birth certificates to be sealed. And then in accordance with that new law at the time, if a child was adopted on or after November 19, 1940, then his or her original birth certificate was placed in a sealed file. And that record can only be accessed pursuant to an order of the court. Now, this, as you can imagine, this certainly created problems over the years. But in any event, what happened in May 27th of 2014, Governor Christie amended the vital records law when he signed legislation that allows an adult adoptee whose original birth certificate was placed in a sealed file to obtain a non-certified copy of that original birth certificate. And this was, as I said, a law enacted in 2014. Well, so here we are in 2017. Why does that, what impact does that have? Well, pursuant to the statutory amendments, an adoptee could receive a copy of the original birth certificate beginning in January of 2017. So why the lag? I mean, usually laws are, they can be retroactive, but they're usually prospective on the date that they're signed. However, in this case, they wanted to give the original birth parents time to object. So what happened is, now, remember, any adult adoptees where the adoption occurred before November 19th, 1940, their original birth certificates were always available to them at any time, and they just had to apply and submit a suitable application without court order. I doubt that many people even realize that, but that is the case in New Jersey. Other states, of course, have different laws because, remember, statutes, there are certainly federal statutes, but adoption and the statutes regarding adoption are not among those. So many other states, there are different. But this is simply New Jersey, what I'm talking about today. So sometimes people say, well, can anyone other than an adoptee request a copy of the original birth certificate? And the answer to that actually is yes. Individuals who may receive a copy of the original birth certificate are either an adult adoptee, a direct descendant or sibling or spouse of the adopted person, an adoptive parent, legal guardian, or other legal representative of the adopted person, or, which is not surprising, an agency of the state or federal government for official purposes. However, the original birth certificate is not open for public access. So someone who is the nosy person can't just go in, or if, no one other than this group of people can simply get the birth certificate as of right. Interestingly, Dave and I have three children, one of whom is adopted. We adopted him when he was older, and I knew the state where he was born, and in fact, I was able to get his birth certificate before we adopted him because it had not been sealed because he had not been adopted. So I have his original birth certificate. Now, once he was adopted, I would not have been able to get that birth certificate, and that's the case now. I don't know exactly what happens, but I think the same thing would happen. As long as the child is not adopted, someone can get their birth certificate. But anyway, now what happens? How can one of the eligible requesters obtain an application? They just have to request a copy of the adoptee's original birth certificate. And because that's already posted on the website, meaning it's posted on the Department of Health Vital Statistics website. They can get that application from the website, and then they can complete it and mail it to the Department of Health Office of Vital Statistics and Registry. And they can do that at any time based on the statute and regulations. And that often is called the OVSR, Office of Vital Statistics Registry. So in addition, the application form, I should say in addition to the application form, the person requesting the birth certificate also must mail proper proof of identity, proof of relationship, and or other proof of name change, such as a marriage certificate for a married woman who has changed her surname and payment. So that's the regulation, is simply someone has to send that in. And as I said, that information can be obtained from the Department of Health and Vital Statistics, of the Office of Vital Statistics. So no one has to actually show up in person to receive the original birth certificate. They will be mailed to the person requesting them. And in fact, unless that's changed, I don't think they're even available for pickup in person. So the question again is, how long would it take to process this? And you know, some other people say, why can't I just pick it up? In fact, many people, as of January 2nd, they had waited, they had made the application pursuant to the law in 2014, and they were waiting because nothing could be done for that, what they called, I suppose some people called a cooling off period, a period of time to give someone who had given up a child for adoption to, you know, contact the state. So what happens is, soon as the Office of Vital Statistics obtains the request, they search through their records, and it's, you know, hundreds of thousands of paper records. And of course, some dating back to the 1940s. Apparently, they do not have any electronic files, but so they have to go back through the records and match the request to a sealed record. And apparently then they have to refer to their electronic birth parent registration system to check for the parent's contact preferences. And they have to redact requests and family history data, so to be sure to release as much information as allowed by law, or as little information as allowed by law. So the state is going to say that the process is cumbersome and mostly has to be done manually. So that's why immediate release of the records is not practical and not possible. So because it's a lengthy process to locate the documentation, the records are not available for an in-person pickup. So that's the reason they say they couldn't just, can't just go down there, say, I want my birth certificate, and somebody go and find it. So the request, as I stated, will be mailed out, and then they anticipate being able to mail out the records sometime. Now, this, of course, was before January, where they had so many questions, so many people applying because so many people had been waiting. So they didn't know the exact turnaround time. Frankly, I don't know what the turnaround time is now, but of course it should be less because so many people at the time had their requests in because they wanted to know as soon as they were able to get the information. So the other question is, can a birth parent redact information from the original birth certificate? And actually, birth parents, both the mother and the father, if they choose to maintain their privacy by having identifying information redacted, they had to require, or they were required, I should say, to submit their request by December 31st, 2016. That was the part of the law that was enacted and signed by the governor in 2014 gave them until December 31st, 2016 to ask to have things redacted. So now if there was a redacted request, it had to be mailed and postmarked by last December 31st in order to be accepted. So after that, for example, someone could say, a birth parent could say, well, I didn't know about it. I want to send it in now. The law says no. They had that amount of time. They had to do it by then. So the other question that is whether or not a birth parent can state their preference for contact with their birth child. So what happened with the new law, it did provide birth parents with an opportunity to submit to the state registrar a contact preference form. And on that contact preference form, the birth parents can indicate their preference regarding contact with an adopted individual. And the forms of contact that may be selected by a birth parent are the following: either direct contact, contact through an intermediary, or no contact at this time. So birth parents also have the opportunity to revise their contact preference at any time. So for the contact preference form to be accepted by the state registrar, the birth parent must also submit a completed family history information form, which includes medical, cultural, and social history information pertaining to the birth parent. Now, frankly, this is one real problem with children who have been adopted, because very often they have no medical information, no information about what kind of genetic problems might have been in their birth family, etc. I'll talk a little bit more about that because it does affect, a lot of things. And that was one of the things that we ultimately found was problematic with our adopted child. But in any event, unless a redaction request, again, which as I said had to be submitted by December 31st to be accepted, unlike that, the birth parent can submit a contact preference form at any time. So, for example, if a birth parent did not submit a redaction request by the deadline and the birth parent now wishes to not have contact with the adoptee, the birth parent could still submit a no contact preference as long as they provided this family history form to the state. And if the birth parent who does not want to have contact with the adoptee, if that parent does not submit the contact preference prior to the registrar's receipt of a request for and mailing of the original certificate to the adoptee, then there's a possibility that the adoptee may attempt to make contact with the birth parent as the adoptee will be unaware of the birth parent's contact preference. Well, so where can the birth parent find the information? Well, the birth parent form and family history questionnaire are available on the Department of Health and Vital Statistics website. So that's the way that they can do that, and they can fill that out. One of the other questions often is, if a birth parent wants the adoptee to contact them, then do they still have to fill out the family history form? And the answer to that is yes. The law requires family history forms to be completed when a contact preference form is completed. And this is truly, whether or not someone who gave up a child for adoption, and remember, this was very, very common in especially the 1940s, although I don't know, But in the 1950s and even the 1960s, especially the early 1960s, there was a lot of pressure on young women to, if they were impregnated out of wedlock and weren't going to marry the father, there was a lot of pressure to give up the baby for adoption so the baby would have a better home. And this fight for open records has been going on for years, many years. So what the new law, what the applicant for the birth certificate, the original birth certificate would receive is it would be a non-certified copy of the original birth certificate. And frankly, I don't recall why they can't get a certified copy, but in any event, it's not a certified copy. And, you know, that will be the birth certificate that's on file with the Office of Vital Statistics and Registry. Because the non-certified copy of the original birth certificate is only for informational purposes. It cannot be used for legal proof of identity, and for some reason it can't be used for legal proof of citizenship or even as a substitute for the original birth certificate. Now, why it can't be used for citizenship is kind of mind-boggling. Because if you had a situation, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about this when I come back, take a short break, give you some information about the... Actually, I'm going to take a short news break to hear what's going on in the news, because the news earlier was an earlier newscast, because I had problems in front of the hospital getting through that traffic light once again. So we'll be back shortly.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
President Trump meeting with reporters talking about Puerto Rico and said the government of Puerto Rico will have a direct impact on recovery.
Ultimately, the government of Puerto Rico will have to work with us to determine how this massive rebuilding effort will end up being one of the biggest ever will be funded and organized.
The president will be traveling to Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands on Tuesday. Police in Georgia say one Polk County police officer is dead after a shooting, a suspect still at large. Multiple media outlets reporting two officers were shot while investigating a stolen vehicle. One officer is okay after being shot in his bulletproof vest, but the other died from his wounds. A female suspect is in custody, a male suspect wearing a backpack still at large. There's a huge police presence along Highway 100 outside of Atlanta. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Getting your flu shot at Walgreens is easier than ever. Just walk right in, and there's no cost to you with a $0 copay with most insurance. Plus, when you get a flu shot, you help provide a life-saving vaccine to a child in need through the UN Foundation. Swing by your local Walgreens anytime to get a flu shot and help make a difference. Get a shot, give a shot. It's that easy. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Through August 31st, 2018, for every immunization given, Walgreens will donate 22 cents up to $2 million. Vaccine restrictions apply. Talk to your pharmacist to learn more.
Hi, it's Angie Austin. All right, I didn't sleep well until I got my pillow. I love this pillow, and they have a great deal right now. 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com, and I'm telling you, this pillow will change your sleep life. MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, or call 800-951-8175 and put in the promo code USA. You'll get 50% off two MyPillow premium pillows and two go-anywhere pillows. Again, call 800-951-8175, promo code USA.
Well, we're back, and the program, It's the Law. Today I'm talking about adoption, the statute that permits adoptees, that's adult adoptees, to obtain their original birth certificate. And this is extremely important for so many adult adoptees. And for, in many cases, they may be just curious, they want to know more, and they don't have a sense of who they are. You know, and it doesn't mean that they've had a poor childhood, or they, you know, they may have had a very happy childhood. And I will say for adoptive parents, I think that they should encourage their children to try to locate their birth parents, or certainly the information about their medical history, because they never know when that will be critical. So the question is, what will that child receive? And as I said, our son was not adopted in New Jersey, so he would not be able to take advantage of this law. Certainly, there was a time when he had a child where it would have been very important, could have been very important for him to get information about his medical history. In any event, what happens now in New Jersey is the, as I said, the child, the adult will be able to obtain the original birth certificate, but would not be able to use it for citizenship. Now, as an attorney, that really amazes me because, for example, although we probably think it'll never happen or never did happen, I'm sure it did, where there could have been an adoption by of a child who was born in the United States, born in New Jersey, so of course the child would be a citizen, and if that child was adopted by undocumented residents here, they would have been undocumented. They would not have had citizenship. The birth certificate would show that they're the parents. Now, I think this would have been very difficult, and I think more often what would happen in those cases is undocumented citizens would undocumented citizens. You can't have an undocumented citizen. An undocumented adult who took care of a child would just not go through the procedures. In other words, there would not have been an official adoption. However, to make that, if it ever did happen, why in the world that child who was born in the United States and would be able to prove it through the original birth certificate, that makes no sense to me. Now, I did not look at the legislative history to see why that would be a situation. And I think that would actually be a constitutional question, because if, in fact, the original birth certificate showed that the child was born in New Jersey, I don't understand why that child would not have been a citizen. And let's assume that this law is in other states. If a child was adopted in New Jersey, born in another state, and was able to get his or her birth certificate. Well, let's reverse it. The child was born in New Jersey, adopted by parents somewhere else in the country. That child, of course, born in New Jersey, has a right to get his or her birth certificate now. Doesn't make any difference where they grew up. However, so there could be a situation or situations where a child born in New Jersey could have been adopted by people who are not citizens, and could have an impact on the child's citizenship, even though the child was born in New Jersey in the United States. I think that would be a good constitutional law question, frankly, because I don't see how that could possibly be legal. If you're born in the United States, you're entitled, and you are, in fact, a United States citizen by birth. So in the copy of the birth certificate, as I said, would be clearly marked that it's not a certified copy and cannot be used for legal purposes. And if the adoptee's birth parents submitted contact preference and family history information, then the applicant will also receive a copy of that information. As I said, that is so critical. And additionally, if the birth parents have requested identifying information to be redacted from the birth certificate, then the applicant, the adoptee, usually it will be the adoptee, will receive an original birth certificate with that identifying information blacked out. So at that point, the adoptee will know that the information was on the birth certificate, but that a birth parent asked that it be redacted. Now, interestingly, with our son, there was just no information with respect to his biological father. So even though I have the original birth certificate, it only contained information about the mother. So again, I have no idea why that happened, but again, it's really important whenever possible for the birth mother to give whatever information there is about the birth father because of possible medical problems in the future. So, of course, when we talk about redacting something, those of us who are lawyers, it basically means it'll be blacked out, and it obscures or removes information that the birth parent does not want to share. And so what they do here in New Jersey is they say there's a black box covering the redacted information. Basically, it's a probably marked out. I'm sure that they keep in the Office of Vital Statistics, they keep all of the information, but the copy that's given to the adoptee will be, you know, blacked out. So the question is, what forms do the birth parents have to complete? And in New Jersey, that process is completely voluntary. But if a birth parent has not requested any information to be redacted, and if the adoptee requests an uncertified copy of their original birth certificate, then the adoptee will receive it with all the information that was recorded at the time of birth. So that's what I'm saying. With our son, his birth mother did not include any information about the birth father, and obviously the birth father was not there or, you know, did not provide any of that information. So if the birth parent elects to submit a contact preference form, then the birth parent, as I said, must also submit a family history information form in order for the contact preference form to be accepted by the state registrar. So whether they want contact or they don't want contact, they still have to fill out that family history information. Now, there was another term I used where the birth parent, instead of direct contact, could have intermediary contact. Well, what does that mean? That means that there could be a person or an agency who the birth parent selects to act as a link between themselves and the adoptee. And so that they don't want any direct contact. They don't want someone calling them on the phone or showing up at their door. Now, there are other questions of whether the adoptee can receive certified copies of their birth parents' vital records, such as birth certificates, marriage certificates, or death certificates. And according to the Department of Health, no, because the adoption severed all legal familial bonds and as to the birth parents, so that the adoptee does not meet the statutory requirements to obtain certified vital records of birth parents. And so there are statutory requirements with respect to who can obtain copies of birth certificates and marriage certificates or death certificates. And that's governed by statute, New Jersey statute annotated, usually NJSA 26:8-62, as to who can obtain those records. So if a birth parent indicates that they wish to only have contact with their biological child through an intermediary, and lists an adoption or state agency as the intermediary, then the Office of Vital Statistics Registry will contact the agency to alert them of a possible contact. So, yes, they do, in fact, let the agency know that they might be contacted by the adoptee and that they have been listed as the intermediary contact. However, if the birth parent lists an individual as their intermediary, then it is the birth parent's responsibility to contact the individual to ensure that he or she is willing to serve in that capacity. So if a child is adopted through an agency, they don't have a choice. If they're listed as the intermediary, the adoptee can go to that agency. But as far as an individual, the state will not notify an individual. So that is the birth parent's obligation to do that. So it gets down to what information is required in order to obtain an original birth certificate. So obviously in New Jersey, basically you have to obtain this, you know, or bring in the kitchen sink to do anything. I remember how difficult it was when New Jersey changed to picture identification on driver's license. I frankly must have gone back 6 times because it was almost impossible for me to provide them with the information they needed. So let's go through the list of things that the adult adoptee has to provide. And I'm using adult adoptee, as you know, I gave you some of the other people who would be qualified. So they need a current valid photo driver's license or photo non-driver's license with the adoptee's original current address. Or they can give a current valid driver's license without photo and one alternate form of identification with the adoptee's current address. So therefore, if somebody, someone who is in a state that they don't have a photo driver's license, they can still get their birth certificate. Or a copy of the adoptee's current legal birth certificate, or two alternative forms of identification, one of which must have the adoptee's current address. And we're talking vehicle registration, vehicle insurance card, voter registration, U.S. or foreign passport, immigrant visa, permanent residence card, which we usually call the green card, government-issued identification, that is federal, state, county, or municipal, school identification, bank statements within the previous 90 days. That is very interesting to try to get the bank statements. Utility bill within the previous 90 days, or tax return or W-2 for the current or previous tax year. So if the adoptee assumed his or her spouse's or civil union partner's last name, then the adoptee must also provide a certified copy of his or her marriage or civil union certificate to link the name on the adoptee's current identification to the name listed on the adoptee's current post-adoption birth certificate. And this can be the very difficult to, in some cases, to get a certified copy of a marriage license. And this was, I know, my dilemma when I was trying to get just a driver's license in New Jersey. So the question is, does the Office of Vital Statistics Registry, do they work with any other state agencies? So they actually do work with other state agencies and private agencies to compile a list of counseling resources. And there are a number of them, including the Diocese of Metuchen Catholic Charities Counseling Services, and they serve Hunterdon County. So that if there's New Jersey Mental Health Cares, they can be contacted in New Jersey Adoption Resource Clearinghouse, NJ Arch, can be contacted during business hours. Dealing with a difficult situation and need someone to talk to, there are specialists available for free. I mean, this can become, you know, a lifelong search, and certainly there were people who, you know, contacted the state after the deadline and have spent years looking for their birth parents and did not get great news. So as prior to the deadline, as I said, prior to that deadline of December 31st, the Department had received hundreds of requests from birth parents and from adoptees, and so I don't know if they've caught up with the backlog, but they surely should have by now. And I think they had an additional personnel attempting to deal with the problem, or not the problem, but getting all the information. So, you know, the question then, the medical history information, how vital this is, I can't stress enough. But then if an adoptee receives family medical information from a birth parent, that raises concerns. There's also a question, should they, talk about those concerns and who with? They obviously cannot go back, even if they know who the birth parent, who their doctor was. The birth parent's doctor would not be able to provide information based on HIPAA, the HIPAA law, and no time to go into that today. But so that would create a problem, but certainly one would hope that there is information with respect to health history. I know that agencies today try to get as much information as possible on a child who's going to be given for adoption on the medical history of both the birth mother and the birth father. And anyone, one of the things that often happened in the past is young women who were pressured into telling who impregnated them would not give the information, would give a false name. They may have given a false name for their own, themselves. They may have given absolutely a false name for the father. And so that many people, even though they get the so-called original birth certificate, it's just false. So they can't really, it's not going to be helpful for them in their search. Generally, it won't be helpful. But there are, and one of the things that, there have been some really poignant stories of reunions between birth parents and adoptees, and and it took, by the way, the adoptees who were interested in getting this information, it took them about 34 years of lobbying. There was a New Jersey Coalition for Adoption Reform and Education, acronym NJ Care, and that was a Morristown-based advocacy group, and they, pushed for many, many, many years for the state to pass the birth records bill, and that's really what it's called, the birth records bill. Now, of course, New Jersey, as I said earlier, no longer stands in the way of an adult adoptee who wants to contact his or her birth families. And, many, many people, I think we can certainly see this. We see ads on television with respect to Ancestry.com. So even people, you know, people who are not adopted, obviously, people are interested in their roots. And if anyone goes back to remember the television program Roots, I mean, it was really, you know, I think around that time, many people started to say, gee, I wonder where my roots are. And if, you know, especially if they had certain questions and questions about their heritage, questions about their roots, questions about, you know, who are my family of origin? And, of course, we can imagine how so many adoptees are so much more concerned about this, and they want to, very often, as I said, it came up with my son when he had a child, and there was a question, did we have certain medical information? And, of course, we did not. And he had a different attitude about contacting his birth mother, which we fully were prepared to give him all of the information that we had about his birth mother. And, of course, because he was not adopted until he was much older, he knew his surname because that was his surname until we adopted him, and we didn't adopt him until he was 8.5 years old, and in fact, his surname is now his middle name. But he would have been able, I think, even without any public records, would have been able, I think, to find his birth mother if he had wanted to do so. But that was only because I was able, as I said, I obtained his original birth certificate, and he had been given up for adoption, you know, from birth. So and I don't need to publicly say why I did this, but I wanted, when he first came to live with us, since he was older, you know, I wanted to see if it might make sense to contact his birth parents, who might have been, you know, college or, you know, high school when they gave him up for adoption, and possibility of really wanting to get back into his life. And, you know, we were very open to that. And, in fact, you know, he had been bounced around the system so long that, you know, the best place could have been for him, or probably would have been at that point in his life, with his birth parents if they had been able to care for him. But in any event, I think that New Jersey did it right when they allowed the adoptees to get that information. And, of course, you know, the 30-month waiting period allowed birth parents time to ask the state to redact their names or vital information. So it was a law that was enacted to try to protect both sides. And, in fact, many women who have given up children for adoption will say that, you know, they had been waiting for that knock on the door. They wanted to be contacted. They wanted to find out what happened and whether their child had a good life. And I believe that so New Jersey's law took effect, and now advocates have been working apparently in New York again for access to original birth certificates, and I don't believe that bill has been signed. And but it may have been, because I know it was waiting for the governor's signature. And then Connecticut, another close neighbor of ours, has allowed people born since October 1st, 1983, to access their original birth certificates. And then there, most recently, I don't think it's been passed yet, there was a pending bill that would give all adoptees access. So, as I said, in New Jersey, I didn't know until I started looking into this, that in fact adoptees born before November of 1940 always had the right to get their original birth certificates. Well, I'm going to play a few spots from our sponsors and wind down the program, and we'll be back after the news with the sports guys. So let me see who we need to talk about as far as sponsors. So, you know, please listen. Please support our sponsors. We really appreciate their support of us. And remember, November 9th, of course, is the expo. Lots of good food, lots of vendors, lots of neighbors, lots of friends. It's really fun because you run into everyone at the expo.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hey, Big C here, doing a little practicing for the Hunterdon County Chamber's 16th Annual Golf Classic. We're teeing off at Tuesday, October 3rd at Hawk Point Golf Club. The signature sponsor this year is Hunterdon Healthcare. Besides enjoying a great game of golf, this event is an excellent way for you to promote your business via our sponsorship opportunities, silent auction, and networking luncheon. The Golf Classic launches at 8:30 a.m. with registration, breakfast, and a putting warm-up. This scramble format will begin with a shotgun start at 10 a.m. Plus, we will have some exciting contests to enjoy throughout the day. Oh yes, the winning foursome will be presented with the fabulous Hunterdon Cup. Talk about bragging rights. I got you this year, Team ExxonMobil. I'll see you on the first tee.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
President Trump meeting with reporters talking about Puerto Rico and said the government of Puerto Rico will have a direct impact on recovery.
Ultimately, the government of Puerto Rico will have to work with us to determine how this massive rebuilding effort will end up being one of the biggest ever, will be funded and organized.
The president will be traveling to Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands on Tuesday. Police in Georgia say one Polk County police officer is dead after a shooting, a suspect still at large. Multiple media outlets reporting two officers